Five. You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only community-supported FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host, Robert Palmer.
Good morning, Scooty.
Don't do that. How you doing, by the way?
Hey, I'm good. I had a really fun event last night.
I went to
the world premiere of Sam Hunter's new play, Rest, at the South Coast Repertory Theater, directed by Martin Benson. It was just extraordinary.
Oh, great, yeah.
Absolutely extraordinary.
Now, of course, we had David Ems and Paula Tomei in 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And
we did.
They were great. And we filmed that particular show as well. And just to remind our listeners that Radio Caravan is now airing 8 p.m. Saturdays and 12 noon Sundays on Cox 3.
It is indeed.
Yeah, which is great for us because we film probably about half our shows. And we cut them down to about 30 minutes. And those get broadcast over to roughly 250,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes.
All of whom are watching.
All of whom.
Channel 3. Basic cable.
Well, you know, it's funny. I checked the TV guide this morning, and we're listed there now. It says Radio Caravan, so that's cool.
Wow, we'll have to call Nielsen and see what our ratings are.
Yeah, I don't think they do that on Cox.
I don't think they can rate it.
Yeah. So, anyways, people, if you're listening, please check us out. We'd love for you to see what it looks like in this studio here. Also, I wanted to talk, Robert, a little bit about our hosting the Pearl Street sessions last Thursday night. Two nights ago, we had, of course, the legendary songwriter Jack Temption, who wrote so many great hits for the Eagles. Backed up by Richard Steckel of Honk and
drummer from Missiles of October.
Yeah.
And a bass player. Fantastic band they put together.
Yeah, Alan Duermo, I think, is the bass player's name. And it sounded great. And Jack, I thought, was a fun interview.
He was indeed. He was really an amazing guy.
Yeah, and a great songwriter, clearly. And then, you know, they took a break, and then we rolled into Sean Jones, who, wow.
Extraordinary performer.
Yeah, I mean.
Extraordinary talent.
He was, by the end of that performance, he was just drenched in sweat. He was working, and he was sitting down playing the whole time.
Most of the crowd was.
Yeah.
And we learned something interesting, that Peaceful Easy Feeling was written by a drunken man who was abandoned by his date on a linoleum floor in a bar.
And in the parking lot of a Der Wiener Schnitzel.
He did indeed. He rallied at the end and finished it in Der Wiener Schnitzel. So I don't know how you get a peaceful, easy feeling out of all that, but somehow he did. And I actually learned, this is not porn, but there is a Golden Hot Dog Award, you may recall that.
Uh-huh.
And the Wiener Schnitzel that he wrote it at honored him and put a golden hot dog on the very table he wrote it on.
Wow, we should all be so lucky.
We should.
But we do appreciate him coming down and spending the evening with us, and that was a great show. And, of course, we filmed both the interview upstairs and the performance downstairs. That will be edited into a 30-minute program that we'll broadcast on Cox as well.
And we'd like to thank our friends and family and fans that came down. I think half of Laguna Beach was here that night. It was amazing.
It was packed. I mean, it was literally people were I had people calling in and the next day saying we drove by, we stopped by, but we just couldn't get into the place. It was too crowded.
Yeah, big shout out to Chris at the Wine Gallery. Did a great job. Great food, great wine. Had
a
wonderful evening there.
Yeah, you know, they had a lot to juggle. And Chris, I think, may have felt a little overwhelmed, but by the end of the evening, I'm sure he was happy with the results.
I'm pleased to hear that we trashed the place a little bit, too, in true rock and roll style.
Well, there you go. And, of course, Tyler, we want to thank Tyler Russell for allowing us the opportunity to do that. So, Tyler, if you're listening, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Okay, so I guess that's basically through the work we need to take care of, except to say we want to give a shout-out to our sponsor who's coming on board here, David Wilhelm, down there at Jimmy's Famous American Tavern.
In Dana Point.
In Dana Point.
Indeed. Absolutely.
And you had food there?
About 50 times, probably.
Yeah, and I've been there a few times myself, and what do you think?
It's just got a great vibe to the place.
It does.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
South County really needed somewhere like that. It's a lot of fun to go to, a lot of TVs. Tap bar,
yeah.
Wine even on tap, and great food, great comfort food.
Yeah, exactly, and a great location there with sort of a beautiful view of the harbor.
Yes, indeedy. Used to be where Ferrantelli's used to be a couple decades ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, very cool. Let's move on. We got the police blotter business.
Today's police blotter.
Sure, you think it's a beautiful paradise out there. But you're wrong. It's a cesspool of crime. It's called Laguna Beach. Here are just a few of the crimes that occurred last week, pulled directly from Street Beat. All right, you know that old thing about hiding your valuables in your shoe when no one will know when you go to the beach? Well, this idiot here decided they would leave $4,100 worth of jewelry in their purse when they went swimming in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And they came back, and it was gone. Now, here's one I really don't understand. A fraud report, 400 block of Cliff Drive. A resident received a tax refund, though he had yet to file his taxes.
That's interesting.
How do you do that? I'd like to do that.
How does that work, by the way?
I don't know. You don't even file for taxes and you get a refund?
Yeah, amazing.
That's our government at work. Hmm. All right. Now, here's an interesting one. This is apparently a pirate on a bike of some sort. 300 block of Broadway, a homeless man. They even were kind enough to mention his name, but we won't. He was stopped because his bicycle was lacking a reflector. Imagine a homeless guy not being careful enough to put a reflector on his bike. Well, it turns out the bike was stolen, and he had on his possession a concealed dagger.
A concealed dagger. Ouch.
When was the last time you saw a concealed dagger?
Where would you conceal a dagger?
I don't know. Hmm. Why wouldn't you put a reflector on your bike? So here's another one. I don't know how this happened. Detectives will investigate how someone used a debit card to siphon $600,000 from a little-used account. Wouldn't you kind of notice if you were down $600K in your account?
Well, wouldn't the bank notice that somebody's using a debit card taking out $600,000?
That's a lot of cigarettes. You know,
that can't be accurate. That must be a typo.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it was
March
29th, $600.
Right here. 100 block of Irvine Cove. They got a lot of money in Irvine Cove.
You know, it's funny, though. I read an article recently that there's some sort of scam going on with these debit cards now, and these computer hackers are able to figure out a way to, I don't know, track down cards, use them on ATM machines and pull out money before anybody even knows what happened.
As a matter of fact, they found a way to crack the limits on ATM cards now, and they can take out hundreds of thousands of dollars or as much money as the ATM has, and they strike over the holidays when they know they're loaded with cash.
Yeah. Curious, though, that you're right, though, when you think about it. Wouldn't you notice that $600,000 is missing from your account? You must have a lot of money in your account if you
don't
notice
it. Not to notice it. So that's it for the world of
beautiful
crime.
Yeah, thank you. What about town? I know we've got some business on the about town as well, and I don't know what I'm looking at. We got a phone call? Huh? Oh, Max. Is Max on the phone? Sorry. Max, are you there?
Yep, I'm there, Scott.
Sorry, Max. I didn't know you were on the phone. Thanks for calling in. It's good to hear your voice, by the way, my friend.
Thank you.
Morning, Maxwell.
Morning.
Hey, Max is our San Francisco reporter, and he gives us all the Max Tech news. And I believe, Max, if I'm not mistaken, we're talking a little bit about wearable technology today. Is that correct?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Lead us, my friend. Lead us.
So I actually was inspired by one of Robert's emails about April Fool's. So I do want to do a little special on April Fool's in the tech industry, and it'll be too late if I wait till next week to talk about it.
Okay,
so,
good.
I just want to mention that tech companies have played April Fool's jokes for decades now by releasing ridiculous and fake product ads during the week of April Fool's. Now, I was trying to research when this foolishness started. When did, like, the first tech company release a fake product on April Fool's Day? And I couldn't really come out with anything. Do you guys remember anything? Like, I have something back to 2004, but that wasn't even Google's first, like, prank.
I do not, Max, and oddly enough, no one knows the actual origin of April Fool's Day.
Hmm. No, I don't.
Interesting.
Robert's just a wealth of information.
My favorite of all time was when Taco Bell went on TV with the National Park Service and said that because of our national debt, they had bought the Liberty Bell, and it was now being renamed the Taco Bell Liberty Bell. And I remember being incensed, just infuriated that our government would do that. I thought that was the best prank.
That's classic. That's a classic, yeah.
I remember that. That was funny. So I wanted to mention what is known to be the most famous of tech company pranks, that of which that happened in 2004. This was when Google was doing their typical pranks yearly, but this year they had a job posting for the moon, which was typical for Google, like posting jobs that said you could work on the moon. It was the second of the jokes that really threw people off. The second was that the search company was launching a free email service that would offer users not 1 or 2 megabytes, but 1,000 megabytes of storage for free. That means the average email user would never have to delete an email again. Well, it wasn't a joke. That is, in fact, now known as Gmail, which is one of the world's largest email providers.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think since then, tech companies still love hosting their pranks as well. But I just want to mention some of the interesting ones we saw this year. Google, they're always at it again. They had some job postings to be a Pokemon master, as well as hiding Pokemon on the actual Google Maps application.
Pokemon.
And they did a video to go along with that was hysterical, showing what it would take to be a Pokemon master for Google. if guys climbing mountains and, you know, the Himalayas looking at their little app, you know, trying to find where the Pokemon is.
That's hilarious.
And then also, when I mentioned wearables, a big trend we saw this year in the pranks were wearables. HTC, Samsung, and Toshiba all had fake cell phone wearable advertisements, like phones that were gloves or motorcycle gloves that were also your iPhone, like ridiculous things like that. But the thing is, though, I think these products, like we say, they're fake and they're never going to come out, right?
Right.
But I think a couple other people believe that these companies advertise these ridiculous products to see our reaction, to see if we would actually buy something like that.
You know, I guess that's a possibility, yeah.
It is indeed. My favorite this year was Richard Branson's for Virgin Airways. You see that?
No.
He did a spoof with Nest, which is the thermostat, and he said that the airline had now come out with a personal thermostat for each and every seat.
Right.
So when you're going to the Bahamas, you can crank it up to 100 degrees, and your neighbor might be going to Iceland, and he can crank his down to 10. It was pretty funny. He's sitting in the seat basking in sunlight.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And we're laughing about that, but think about 20 years in the future now, we're probably going to be doing that.
Well, I mean, certainly, yeah, what the mind can perceive, it can eventually conceive, I guess, right? I mean, you know, you look at sci-fi movies from past, and some of those technologies have certainly, you know, been produced, and who knows what they're thinking of these days. What could you imagine to be the most annoying piece of equipment you could wear on your body? Think about that. What would be the most annoying piece of equipment you can wear? Because I know they got the Google's glasses, right? So you can kind of... You got the Google's glasses sort of coming out, but...
Of course.
Where would it go from there? All right, thanks. Appreciate that.
X-ray vision, maybe, next.
X-ray vision? Maybe, yeah. All right, keep going, Max. What else?
All right, so I think that's why 90% of these jokes are wearables, as we were just mentioning, or wearable technology, for some people who don't know, because the biggest upcoming trend in mobile technology is indeed wearables. And I think that we're laughing at these phone gloves, and we think they'll probably never come out. But just like Gmail, one of these days we're going to see that Nest advertisement with Richard Branson, and we're going to laugh at it, and then they're going to be like, no, guys, this is real. And then we're going to be like, oh, crap.
That'll be our exact response.
Well, there'll be an audience for it. I don't, or consumers for it. I don't doubt that. You got anything else, Max?
Of course. No, I kept it a little short today for you.
Oh.
That's it?
Yep.
All right.
Okay,
Max
fantastic.
Tech. Thanks for calling in, my friend. We appreciate it. You know, we got to get you your own, what do they call those, sounders or sweepers or whatever it is. We got to get you one of those so every time you come on, we got your own sort of Max Tech. Maybe you can think about creating one for us.
All right. I'll get into that.
Get on that, would you?
Get on that. All right, Max, thanks for coming in, man, for calling in. We appreciate it, and, you know, stay healthy, okay?
Thanks, Scott. Next week, I'll try to talk about wearables a little bit more.
That sounds great, Max. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Robert, do we have some About Town material that you wanted to go over for us?
Now, your man About Town.
You bet your bippy we do. Well, let's start with some new movies that are coming out this weekend. First of all, Captain America, Winter Soldier is coming out.
Can you say Bippy on the air? Is that
you can say Bippy.
Okay.
Chris Evans comes back as Captain America, and it's really a good Marvel series, and this one's getting particularly great reviews, even for adults and even for women. It's a really great show.
Yeah.
It's got a great cast, including Scarlett Johansson. Of course, Chris Evans is back, Samuel L. Jackson. They've added Robert Redford to this one. Mm. And it's interesting. They said they tried to make this into kind of a contemporary 3 Days of the Condor.
I love that
to have
movie.
A little of that kind of flair to it, so I recommend that. More importantly, I think my favorite movie right now is the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is Wes Anderson's latest movie. It's absolutely fantastic. If you like his movies, it's great. Noah's out, and if you like giant rock people running around and death and destruction and stabbing babies with knives, yeah. it's really quite good other than that. and then Bad Words is out, which is absolutely fabulous. It's Justin Bateman. He's a 40-year-old troubled man who sneaks into a spelling bee and comes down to a duel to the death with a 10-year-old for the national championship.
How funny.
Very, very good show. If you like music, we've got Diana Krall, the fantastic jazz musician, who's playing tonight at Segerstrom Center. And I know you're thinking, gee, is that it? No, there's of course more, and I'll look through my paper here. Oh, America's Family Pet Expo. It happens to be the world's largest pet expo in the world. And they've got all kinds of things, and that's going on at the fairground. And I mentioned Rest at SCR, and that's playing there for about the next 3 weeks or so. Interestingly, my seat is row E107-108.
What does that mean?
That's where I sat last night.
No, I know, but what's the significance?
Behind me was the director, Martin Benson, exactly behind me and directly in front of me was the playwright. And it was fascinating to watch the two of them watch their collaboration come to life before my eyes. And what I learned was apparently if you're a playwright, it's bad taste to stand up to give yourself a standing ovation. Sam sat down while the entire audience stood up and gave him a really rousing round of applause for what was one of the most beautiful performances I've seen.
Wow, well, that's great. That
now, but there's wonderful. A little bit more because we thought we'd talk about food a little bit.
I love food.
And I do too. Orange Coast Magazine this month came out with their 10 Best Restaurant issue. And I tend to agree with most of them. They've number one restaurant they picked. It's a new one in Santa Ana called Little Sparrow. I don't know if you've been there.
I have not.
I'm going tonight to check it out. But the chef formerly worked at Charlie Trotter's in Chicago. It's a 42 Street Bistro, and they're very proud of their bartenders there as well.
You know,
that's the new hip district down there.
Have you been there?
I've not. I've been to Playground, which is right next door, and that's also very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Enchinella Restaurant over in Orange. Guy built an entire empire in Chilaquiles. That's done very well.
Huh.
And then, oddly enough, there's a great Italian restaurant called Luca over in the Quail Hill Shopping Center, and they came in at number three. Kathy Pavos is the owner and chef, and she's really quite talented. I've been there a number of times and recommend that. Carthay Circle, I'd never even heard of. It's a new restaurant inside of California Adventure at Disneyland.
Hmm.
And it looks extraordinary. And it's by the same chef, Andrew Sutton, who holds court over at Napa Rose. If you've been to Napa Rose, that was a long time the number one Zagat restaurant in the county. Another weird little restaurant is called Wine Works for Everyone. It's down on Oso Parkway next to a Starbucks. And there's a tavern next to it called the Dublin Four, but it's really wonderful. It's a small, eclectic little place, big wine menu, a lot of fun. My buddy David Pratt down in San Clemente runs Brick, which is a great little brick pizza restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of old-fashioned stuff, delicious food, really, really yummy. He used to be the general manager of Studio over at the Montage, so he's been in this business a long time and is a very talented chef. And then we've got Bruno's Trattoria, which I have not been to, but it's up in Bray. It gets great reviews. And, of course, one of my favorites is Noah Bloom's Ark made the list. The entire restaurant is done with wood-burning ovens. It goes up to 2,000 degrees, and if you want to boil water, he uses a wooden stove to boil water. And then the cannery, which is over.
Why would you order boiled water?
Well, if you got to cook some things.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Potatoes or something.
Gotcha.
Like that.
Oh, okay.
There's not even a gas line that comes into the restaurant.
I see
everything
what you're saying.
Is done with wood.
Oh, wow.
Cannery, an old classic. Everybody loves that. It's a beautiful place to go in the summer. And finally,
the cannery on the list?
Yeah, made it.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Interesting.
Yeah.
They got the jellyfish lounge upstairs. That's a lot of fun up there.
Well, you can, boy, it's packed full of jellyfish in that little harbor area there.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
And they're on the way up and upstairs hanging down. They're very scary. Mm-hmm. And finally, Carmelita's, our own Carmelita's, right down here in Laguna Beach, made the list, which is fabulous classic Mexican restaurant food, if you like it.
Yeah, I agree. Very nice,
Those
Robert.
Those are our top 10. So.
You're very thorough.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, we did About Town. We've done Police Blotter. Take over the mic here real quickly, would you? Somebody talk. I've got to see if Jill's here.
All right, so what else is going on out there?
Come on in, Jill. Jill Harvey's here, and she's been sitting out there. We've been busy having fun here in the studio talking about Town and Police Blotter stuff, and we've completely ignored our healthy lifestyle coach, Jill Harvey. And I am trying to just drag out this introduction for as long as I can because it was my fault, Jill. Well, let's blame it on Robert.
Did you lock her out? Okay, I'll take the blame for it. Did you lock her outside? Was that her band?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I heard something out there. Yeah, just turn the microphone. You're good to go.
Good morning, Jill.
Is she
good
on?
Good morning.
There she is. There's
hey.
That lovely voice. How are you, young
good,
lady?
How are you?
Doing great. And by the way, Thanks for coming to the event the other night, the Pearl Street Sessions.
So much fun. Great turnout.
Has Roger returned to the planet Earth yet?
He's not. No, he's still napping. Yeah. No, I'm still raspy from it, too, from all the laughing and talking.
Yeah, had a good time.
Great time.
That sounds great. Well, thanks for coming. You had quite an entourage with you, yes? Some of your clients or students?
Students, friends, great community of love.
Yeah, beautiful. Lauren Powers.
Lauren Powers.
Who's been on the studio before. We interviewed with you and Lauren about a month ago or so.
She was in February.
There. Yeah?
Yeah.
That was nice of her to show up, I thought.
Yeah, very nice.
You know, and while we're talking about Lauren Powers, let's put a shout out to her. Today, she's got the National Classic, Lauren Powers Classic, which is a bodybuilding show, from what I can
tell. It's a physique show.
A physique show.
Right.
Okay. And she says here, figure, bikini, men's, women's, physique, fit moms and dads. And it's held today at the Neighborhood Community Center. And I'll give the address. That's 1845 Park Avenue in Costa Mesa. Free general admission, free parking. It looks like it's just going to be a phenomenal show. On the back of this page, I see she's just got a number of sponsors.
Yes.
Amazing here. Everybody from Quest Nutritions to Metrics. I remember Metrics.
Right, and Scott, Metrics.
Dr. Scott Conley started that company years and years ago. So if people don't have anything to do this afternoon, or I guess it starts this morning.
It's starting, yeah.
Once again, the Lauren Powers National Classic at the Neighborhood Community Center on Park Avenue in Costa Mesa.
And I'm so performing again this year. They brought me back by popular demand.
Yeah.
I get on a little bikini and they do butter, rub it all over me.
Wow.
I think we're trying Mazola oil this year.
Nice.
Looks better with the cameras, I think.
Right, wow. Wonderful.
So if you want to retch your lunch up, come by and see me in a bikini.
Do you know the poses?
You bet I do.
They're not typical poses, I'm
thinking. No, they're more avant-garde. They're more free-spirited.
All right, that sounds
fun. I've got the beer open. I've got the wine cork. I've got all these great moves.
And all this in your Speedo.
It's a sight to behold. My wife is still in therapy.
All right, listen, Jill, let's talk a little bit this morning. I think we had decided that, you know, the benefits of exercise and how people can sort of get the body moving.
Absolutely.
Right? And how important is that process?
Super important. So as much as I'm a fan of being in the gym and exercising, today we're going to get outside of the gym. But we're looking at the benefits of moving. It's so important to move. And, you know, people have excuses. They're working, they're busy. But you can break that up. You can do 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon. Just get up, get moving, get circulation going. But some of the benefits, it controls your weight.
Yeah.
It'll help you maintain weight once you lose it. So you're burning calories, you're increasing bone density, you're increasing muscle mass. It also is a preventative towards some cancers. Toward type 2 diabetes, you know, you're keeping the body moving, getting away from stagnation in the body. Mm-hmm. When stagnation happens, disease sets in. It, you know, lowers your blood pressure, lowers your blood sugar. It helps to control or prevent type 2 diabetes, which is huge because it's such a big issue right now.
Right.
And it lowers your LDLs and increases your HDLs. And those are your lousy, your low-density lipids and your high-density, so lousy, happy.
You're good and you're bad cholesterol.
Good and bad. And also it's improves your mood. So we were saying in class yesterday, I was teaching cycle. The sweatier you are, the happier you are. So sweaty equals happy. I don't know. Can you guys see it?
Yeah, I can see that. When you say you're teaching cycle, is that a cycling class?
Yeah, cycling class.
Oh, you do a cycling class as
well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's heavy cardio, isn't it?
It's heavy cardio.
Well, have you ever done a cycling class, by the way?
Look at me.
You guys should come in and be my guest.
You know, we should do
that. I did 20 minutes of bike every morning when I work out, though, but I'm not a class kind of person.
When was the last time you worked out?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. So you work out several times a week?
About 4 or 5 times a week.
And so you buy into what Jill's saying about keeping the body in motion. What kind of workouts are you doing, by the way?
I just do cardio for about 20 minutes and 20 minutes of weights and about 10 minutes of stretch and sit-ups and back.
And the cardio is bike? Or
generally bike.
Stationary?
Yes, because I'm lazy. I like to read the newspaper.
Do you do the recumbent? Do you do the recumbent? Bike?
I don't know you that well. Yes, I do the recumbent. Yeah. It sounded dirty there for a minute. I don't know why.
That's great.
So we're encouraging people
to move.
To move.
And so in moving, like Robert, you're doing the bike 20 minutes. Do you do that every day?
About 4 or 5 times a week.
So here's some interesting new
I
studies.
Prefer my motorcycle because you don't have to do anything but move the throttle and it goes very fast.
That's a better bike.
But, you know, that's funny you say that. I don't want to interrupt, Sports Illustrated years ago did a sort of a study of the most in-shape athletes pound for pound. And you know who number one was in terms of the category of athletes, basketball players, football players, whatever? Jockeys. Motorcycle riders were right up there. It's really? Something about just that constantly
tension
going on that keeps that body really lean.
Interesting. Well,
I could see that because it's full body. They have to be fully engaged.
Yeah.
So there's not just the legs moving or the arms moving.
Yeah. But I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, no worries. So with the bike, so they've studied now. So say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're doing the treadmill, the bike, 45 minutes consistently, or you're 20. Your body adapts. It knows you're going to do this now, so there's adaptability. And they're finding that you may actually start teaching the body to store fat if you do the same thing. So what you want to do is change up your cardio. So interval training, high intensity. So on the bike, go a minute at a pace, then bust a move. Go as hard and fast as you can. Hmm. Pace, go hard and fast as you can. Put the newspaper down,
bust
pay attention.
Move. Okay, I like that. That's good.
Did you have a Starbucks coffee with you, too, when you read the newspaper and ride the bike, a little Starbucks coffee?
No, I prefer a Wendy's smoothie. A little frosty.
I got to see.
Goes down good.
You got to do a selfie next time of yourself.
Yeah. This is intensive therapy that we need here, yeah. But I think that, you want to know, promotes better sleep, and it's fun, and it's social. Get into a group. But, getting outside, you can do things, get a pedometer. Pedometers are great because it'll show you how many steps you're taking every day.
Yeah. Would you call me?
A pedometer. pedometer.
That helps motivate people because they can see how many steps they're taking. They have these little Fitbit things now.
Fitbit things. You can put them on your hip. You can wear them on your wrist. You can go out, learn to hike, learn to bike. There's so many trails here, right?
Yeah.
You can swim. You can stand up paddle, kayak, get into a volleyball game, shoot some basketball, run around the court, try and, sink it.
Is it a good advice to find something you enjoy? Because I know if I'm doing exercise and I hate it, I'm less likely to stick to it.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You mentioned swimming. Swimming's a great exercise, right?
Beautiful.
And I was wondering, is swimming, laps is the only way to swim, or can you actually do exercises in the deep end of a pool and treading water? And you can really kind of do various motions in deep end.
They have a lot of pool toys now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have weighted little gloves and floaties and kickboards. You can get really busy in a pool.
And what about walking? I've heard that, everybody should get out and walk, but is walking really a form of exercise?
So it is absolutely. It's going to boost your circulation. But again, you want to make it work. I was with Karen and Mayor, my two best friends. We've been walking every weekend. And I won't say where, but last weekend we were on a very popular lake. And there's a Starbucks situated. So we saw some of the people who were walking, and we went and had a coffee. And people are eating after they walk. Chocolate eclairs, Big Muffins. You can't do that.
Right.
kind of defeats the whole purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. And people overestimate what they're burning. But again, with your walking, you want to walk. You see a tree, walk fast from tree to tree, then pace it. Bust a move. Use the park courses there.
So I want to make sure I'm following then. If I walk, let's say we walk for maybe 50 minutes, just a nice even pace is not the approach I want to take.
No.
I want to fast, slow it down, uphills, downhills.
Upstairs, because there's some great stairs. Stair climbing, fantastic.
Yeah, here in Laguna especially.
They have some weighted vests you can buy now. The walking vest.
Yeah.
Really cool
because
it tells your body you're heavier than you are. Mm-hmm. It's going to boost the workload that your body has to do.
Yeah.
So in good posture always, too. People are walking slouched, stand up tall. Walk, with purpose and tension and enjoy being in the moment with it.
I'm convinced TV is a big problem for people who don't exercise because it's so easy, especially, let's say, during the winter months, to just sort of get nestled into a nice couch and a good movie, and then you don't really get off that couch for several hours until you go to bed.
Exactly.
And, if people could just take, like you say, 10 minutes during that process to get up and do something, that would help.
Like we said last week, get up during commercials, move around, do some crunches during commercials.
Yeah.
But, I guess not, Robert.
Put those nachos down. Do a crunch during a commercial.
Yeah. Wasn't there a commercial once, the electronic ab exercises? Yeah. And they showed a guy sitting there eating Cheetos while it was working.
Yep.
That doesn't work. Do they make those still? Yeah. But, it's finding good paths. And, when you're walking too, just smile. But I was laughing about this because, at layovers at the airport, don't just sit there. Get up, walk, do things.
Yeah.
And when I was going to Paris once, I think I was leaving Paris, actually, at the Charles de Gaulle. I'm smiling because I always tell people, smile, be happy, enjoy life. they took my passport and detained me. I looked too happy. So Charles de Gaulle, you know, just be miserable. Look miserable.
They're French. They're French. Come on.
Yeah.
So just look miserable there. Don't smile.
They didn't conduct a cavity search on you, did they?
No,
they didn't
they
do
did
anything
not.
Like that.
No,
all right.
No.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Thank God.
But anything else on the movement, Terry?
Well, I think, you know, just getting out and start. Just start.
Yeah.
You know, as the little segments continue, we'll get in the gym. We'll talk about what you can do in the gym. We'll isolate body parts. We'll keep going. We'll get back to food. We'll get to stress management.
Do we have to join a gym?
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You can have weights at home.
Mm-hmm.
You can have stability balls. There's so many things you can do
outside
of a gym, but a gym is fun too. It's a good social community as long as that's not all you're doing there is socializing.
So. Which a lot of people do, unfortunately.
They do.
Yeah. So I've got my health tip of the week.
Okay.
Did you know that this month, while they last, for $1, you can buy a Frosty key tag at Wendy's? And for the entire summer, you ready for this? You just flash your Frosty key tag, and with any purchase, you get a free Frosty. How's that for health?
I don't think that's a health tip.
No?
No, I'm sorry, Robert.
They're really good, though.
Frosty ice cream?
Right here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
And you want to know why? Because he donates the money. Dave Thomas was a foster kid, and the money goes to foster homes.
Oh, well, that's
nice. They do it as a promo each
summer. Well, I would just go buy and give money. Don't get the Frosty people. Don't do that.
Good call. Good call.
How about if you walk to the Wendy's?
A sip of a Frosty.
Okay.
And if anybody sees Robert there, take a picture, post it.
There you go.
With his Frosty.
You know, we got to come in and talk about fast food one of these days as well, right? That's a killer. But there are certainly healthy choices people can make when they drive through a fast food restaurant.
And that's the word choice. We make choices.
Salads and that sort of stuff. But maybe another time we can have that discussion.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Super.
Yeah.
Jill.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming.
Robert,
we
I'll see you over at Wendy's. I'll be stalking you now.
I've actually not been in a decade, but
oh, okay.
I'm thinking about getting one after the show, though. Now.
Bye, you guys.
Bye, guys.
Have a good day.
Don't leave yet. I want to talk to you at the break,
okay?
So hang in there for about 5 more minutes.
Bye.
And by the way, we should shout out to Roger Harvey and give him a big hug and thank you for the performance of organizing the event on Thursday night and putting up the stage and the sound and all that stuff. There was a lot of detail that went into that that night that you
Amen.
And I didn't even have to pay attention to.
Amen. Thank you, Roger.
So there you go, Roger. Shout out to you, my friend. Let's go to the famous Legends of Rock.
Legends of Rock. Rock.
1964, a young man named Steven Tyler formed a band called The Strangers in New Hampshire. His then to soon to be friend Joe Perry formed another band called Joe Perry's Jam Band. They later met when drummer Joey Kramer introduced them. Oddly enough, Tyler had been a drummer in his band, but he didn't want to be a drummer anymore. He wanted to be a lead singer and a rock star that dressed like a crazy man and a gypsy. After auditioning for the band, they thought it would be a good idea. And after debating names like the Hookers or the Spike Joneses, they settled on the name Aerospace.
I want to make sure I'm clear. Aerospace?
Well, it was actually Aerosmith, but I was going to try Aerospace, see if you're paying attention.
Oh.
So they did go with Aerosmith, actually. Nice paying attention. Their very first gig was at the Nippatuck Regional High School on November 6, 1970. They later went off to New York and actually bought their way onto the stage in Max's Kansas City Bar. Normally they had paid acts, but they paid to get on. Why? Because a friend of theirs was bringing in none other than Clive Davis. And he heard them and signed them to Columbia Records immediately for $125,000.
Wow.
The first album came out. The song we're listening to, Dream On, was an immediate hit. Only made it to 166 on the charts, though. But it did reach gold status, selling 2 million copies. 1975, they came out with their second album, Toys in the Attic. And it really made them famous. Indeed, people were comparing Steven Tyler to Mick Jagger, saying he was nothing but a cheap ripoff. But people loved the music. And probably in part because of this wonderful song, Sweet Emotion, which has a great groove to it.
Thank you. What a great groove.
They also had another hit that came out that very same year in that very same album, Walk This Way. This baby sold 8 million copies. Well, they kept going, and their next album came out in 1976, Rocks, which is probably one of their raw-sounding albums of all time, and it immediately went to platinum. Their famous song, Back in the Saddle. Believe it or not, Kurt Cobain actually said that this album was one of his greatest inspirations and gave Nirvana their contemporary sound.
Wow. Unique vocals.
They are indeed. So 1977, they came out with Draw the Line. And by then, quite frankly, Tyler and Perry were both stoned out of their minds. And they became known as the Toxic Twins. They were stoned on stage. They were stoned off stage. Indeed, they were so stoned, they agreed to participate in the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club movie, where they looked like complete fools and did this remix of Come Together.
That's a great remix, though.
It is. So they went out there, started touring in 1984 again, but drug problems were standing in their way. Indeed, Tyler had to go into a drug rehab program, and indeed, once he came out, the rest of the band went into a drug rehab program. And that's about all they did for 1986. So they finally got their act together a little bit more, and they recorded in September 1987 their biggest-selling album in almost a decade, 5 million copies, that classic song, What's That Dude Look Like? That dude looked like a lady. Probably sounded so good because Steven Tyler said it was the first record they ever had recorded sober in their entire career. Well, then they came out with their next album that was probably even more successful, Pump. Got two big hits off that. The first, Janie's Got a Gun. Actually won a Grammy for that song, and they came out with a song that every businessman has always dreamed of, Love in an Elevator. Didn't think it was possible to rock out at 8:30. Well, they then came back in 1993 with Get a Grip, selling 7 million albums. It was the start of Liv Tyler, his daughter's acting career, where she starred in the Crazy video and their big hit, Living on the Edge.
There's something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is.
But Liv would not stop there. In 1998, she went on to make the horrible movie Armageddon, where Bruce Willis blows up on the backside of the moon, if you recall. Oddly enough, the only number one song they ever had was off that album. And oddly enough, it wasn't even written by Aerosmith. It was written by Diane Warren.
Diane Warren?
Yep.
Hmm.
That explains why the song was a little bit different for them. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. But there was even greater things ahead for them. In 1999, they were featured at Disneyland's Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World on a roller coaster ride called the Aerosmith Roller Coaster Ride. They later recreated that ride in Paris, and I've been on both of those roller coasters. And I got to tell you, it's a great ride.
You get around.
I do indeed. When you have kids, they love this kind of stuff. They enter their next decade, 2001, playing at the Super Bowl of all things. And in 2001, they became the first band ever inducted in the Hall of Fame who had an active hit at the very same time. That song, their last big hit, Jaded. From there on out, they kept touring and kept having more problems. In 2009, they were touring with Aerosmith. You may recall Tyler fell off stage. Then he hit his head. Eventually had to cancel the tour. It was such a disaster. Indeed, it got so bad that Joe Perry publicly announced that he hadn't even heard from Tyler, didn't know where he was, and they were going to audition new singers. Guess who was rumored to take Steven Tyler's place?
Mick Jagger.
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny Kravitz. Wow.
So Perry finally got pissed off, and he decided to join American Idol. Indeed, he didn't even tell the band he was going to do it. Yeah. Joe Perry heard about it on the internet, was absolutely furious, and the band broke up. Well, along comes Steven Tyler's birthday, and Joe Perry shows up on American Idol and sings happy birthday to him. The rest is history. They went on, and they toured, and they're touring again this summer. Believe it or not, Aerosmith is the best-selling American rock band of all time. They've sold over 150 million albums, including 70 million in the States alone. Get a load of this. 25 gold albums, 18 platinum albums, 12 multi-platinum albums, and they hold the record for the most gold albums by any American artist in history. They had 21 top 40 hits, 9 number one museum hits, mainstream rock hits, 4 Grammy Awards, and MTV Awards. Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and the immortal Aerosmith. I'd encourage you to go see them this summer. They put on a great show.
That sounds great, Robert. Good job on this, man. Great choice, too. Love their music. Love their music. We're going to roll into this song for a one-minute break. That's Brian, by the way, engineering all of that music in the background there, Brian. Great job, my friend. Thank you very much. And we're going to come back. We have Pam Estes from the Laguna Beach Girls and Boys Club coming on. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Brian, take us out of here. You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host, Robert Palmer, and this is Radio Caravan. And in the studio, we have Pam Estes. Am I pronouncing
that
right?
That's correct.
She is executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of Laguna Beach. And we want to thank you for coming in this morning, by the way. I know it's early.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great to see you again.
You too.
Robert knows everybody. And everybody knows Robert. He gets around this guy. It's amazing.
Well, you got to know important people, and Pam is one of the important people around here. She's done so much good work for our kids around here. It's amazing.
Well, thanks to everyone.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about the Boys and Girls Club. Can you kind of tell us what sort of, I mean, you know, I have my vision of what it's like growing up near a boys club and participating.
Oh, great.
But I think it's changed dramatically since those days.
Yeah, we've really grown, for sure.
Tell me a little bit about the programs over there that you offer for the children and their parents.
Sure. Well, we are one of
4,000 clubs across the country. Uh-huh. Each of us are our own separate entity, and that way we're able to meet the unique needs of our community.
Right.
So for us, we have we serve about 300 kids a day.
Wow.
We've got some unique programs like our free preschool that exclusively serves low-income families and is very focused on school readiness and preparing the kids for kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a teen center on site, and all of our programs are based around the outcomes of healthy lifestyles, academic achievement, character and leadership, creative expression, and fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. So you say you serve 300 children a day.
Yes.
That adds up, I suspect, pretty quickly over the course of a year.
It does. We have served over 2,000 kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, do the kids come in early morning in the afternoons and stay till their parents can come pick them up, and then they have these sort of well-organized programs that you offer them?
Yeah, we have 50 people on staff that are trained youth development professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have programs in all of the different areas. We have our kids divided up by age group, and they rotate around to the different program areas. And they also have a mentor with them the whole time they're there. So it's really, the bottom line is it's about the relationships between our staff and the kids.
Right.
And that's what really will help them become strong, capable,
healthy
adults.
Adults.
And Scotty, the confidence they build in these kids is really remarkable. United Way, they're one of our agencies that we work with and support, and Pam asked me to come by one day, and I was waiting for her to give me the grand tour, but no, it was a little 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old, and they gave me the tour, and it could not have been more professional. They could not have been more excited about doing it or more articulate, and they were just, you were beaming watching these kids. And our daughters painted your skateboard ramp there years ago.
That's right. We
have a long history going back there. But I would really encourage any of our listeners who are thinking about supporting the group or thinking about having your children, give Pam a call and go out there and get a tour from one of the kids or from Pam. It's really an extraordinary place.
Yeah, we love to share.
Yeah, beautiful. How many facilities here in Laguna?
We currently have two sites.
Okay.
Our main clubhouse, which is on Laguna Canyon next to the Sawdust Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our second branch, which is our TLC branch on Bluebird Park. And that was the girls' club.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2005, we acquired it, and so we integrated it into a Boys and Girls Club.
And I think you had mentioned that you're proposing a third facility now?
We are. We're looking down at Lang Park,
and
that way our TLC site currently has a waiting list of at least 25 kids year-round.
Mm-hmm.
So by expanding to this additional site, we'll be able to serve those kids as well as hopefully help some of the families out in South Laguna.
Beautiful, yeah. And you mentioned to me on the phone when we were sort of pre-interviewing for
mm-hmm.
this morning that you never turn away anyone because of financial needs.
That's correct.
Explain that to me.
That really sets us apart from other youth-serving organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And our budget this year is going to be $2.3 million. And
wow.
Of that, about 30% comes from program fees. If someone can't afford the minimal fees that we do charge, we always scholarship them in. So we have about 30% of our kids that are on the free and reduced lunch program.
Mm-hmm.
And 30% comes from program fees, and then the rest is from fundraising.
So this free and reduced lunch program?
Right.
That's for students who can't afford to necessarily pay the fees to come to the Boys and Girls Club?
Well, actually, that's the guidelines that the schools use.
I got you.
And the household income guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So we use those same guidelines for our scholarships.
Very nice, very nice. And then the budget is amazing to me. When you talked to me about the budget, I thought, wow, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it's a lot of money that's invested in our youth here in Laguna.
Yeah, exactly. And you said 30% comes from service fees, 70% comes through fundraising now.
Yes.
What's that process like for the Boys and Girls Club of Laguna Beach?
Pretty exhausting.
I'll bet, yeah. Is that a constantly revolving sort of
is.
Door?
And we always are. We've got a pretty diverse group of sources.
Mm-hmm.
We have our big fundraising events,
mm-hmm.
and our biggest of which is our gala.
That'll be at the Montage, right?
That will, on May 10th. We also have a great Girls Night Out event in the fall that is just the talk of the town.
What is that about?
That's where a wonderful family here in town opens up their home and allows us to invite 200 women to come in and have a girls' night out, pampering, fun, wow. shopping.
Really? Could Scott and I come?
I know.
We'd fit right in, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I love pampering.
You'd have to change your attire.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I rarely dress that way out of the house, but if it's a free mani-pedi, I might come. Yeah.
I love mani-pedi.
I do. Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
But other than the fundraising events, we also yeah. write a lot of grants. I think we applied for over 70 grants last year.
Wow.
But the most important investors are the individuals here in town. Mm-hmm. Because basically, if Laguna doesn't support Laguna, no one else is going to.
Right.
So we really look here at the people who live here. Our club's been open for over 60 years. Mm-hmm. So we've got generations of Laguna families mm-hmm. who have been through our club. And even Donnie Crevier, Bill Wood, they're both on our board now. And it's great to see someone who really credits the club for changing the direction of their life now able to give back by serving on a volunteer board.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit it on the head, changing lives, right?
That's it.
I mean, I remember, I don't know if you went, did you go to Boys Club or growing up at all?
Church
Robert?
Camp.
Church camp? Really? Church
no,
camp?
Preacher's
yeah.
kid. Yeah.
I mean, I remember going to the Boys Club, and it was a place to go and hang out. And, you know, back then we were playing basketball and, building these little fiberglass surfboards, which was cool.
Yeah.
You know, I held onto that surfboard for years yeah. thinking that was the most prized possession I ever held. So you really are helping lives. There's no doubt about it. You have corporate supporters?
We do. We've mm-hmm. got several Laguna Beach Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. We've got Montage, and the Hearts of Montage are very supportive in lots of different ways. State Street, Tuttle Click Automotive is just a huge supporter.
Nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned the gala coming May 10th at the Montage.
That's correct.
What's that event going to be like, and how can people get involved?
It is going to be over the top.
Yeah, good. As it should.
Every year we outdo ourselves. Mm-hmm. The theme this year is putting on the glitz, and so it's going to have that 20s theme.
Right.
You know, you can't go wrong. Cocktails out on the lawn at Montage, then an incredible dinner, live auction, and there's always a really moving part of the event that really reminds you why you're there.
Mm-hmm. And that is bringing the kids up? Or?
Yeah, we'll be having our Youth of the Year, Austin Wilhoff, mm-hmm. will be speaking, mm-hmm. and we're extra proud of him. He actually was awarded the Orange County Youth of the Year. There are 16 Boys and Girls Clubs in Orange County, and mm-hmm. there's a competition every year, and Laguna,
hey,
Austin, he took it this time. He's actually going later this month up to San Francisco, and will be competing for the California Youth of the Year.
How old is Austin?
He is, I think he's 17.
17? And how does one win this this honor?
Well, you have to write essays about how the Boys and Girls Club has changed your life, mm-hmm. and you have to do a speech in front of some judges.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's tough competition. There's a lot of compelling youth out there who have really compelling stories.
Right.
Yeah, they've got some brave kids. They, on their own, put together this wonderful song. For United Way, we just celebrated our 90th anniversary in Orange County.
Yeah.
And at our gala in front of 550 people, about a dozen kids came out. They're probably the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And sang some songs for us that they wrote for the United Way. It was really special, led by, of course, Choir Master Pam.
Yeah, I didn't actually lead it, but I was able, every day they would practice, and my office is right down the hall, so I knew the song by heart.
And the fun thing, they were all standing up on the stage singing, and they'd never seen themselves on TV before, and there were giant screens behind them. They all kept turning around and smiling and pointing and forgetting they were performing.
How funny
it
is
was
that?
Just adorable to see. Yeah.
They wrote the songs, you say?
Yeah.
Is that right, Pam?
Yeah, actually, it was... I believe the song was commissioned by the United Way by a local artist that wrote it, and then worked with our kids and taught it to them and performed it.
Nice. It was really special.
How can people get involved in the gala coming up at the Montage? Is there areas that you still need help on? Are there programs that need to be funded still? What's the status with all that?
Yeah, we definitely could use support, and we have sponsorships available. We've got a lot of different things. We're always looking for live auction items. And if you'd like to get involved, you can give us a call at the club. And the number is 949 949-494-2535.
Just for fun, give that again.
949-494-2535.
Operators are standing by.
And the website, of course, you want to give us the website?
Sure, it's www.bgclagunabeach.org.
Nice.
And I just want to thank everyone, and really, you know, it does take a village, and this is an incredible village, and our kids are really fortunate to be here.
And, you know, you had mentioned about this 4,000 Boys and Girls Clubs across the country, 16, I believe you said, in Orange County?
That's correct.
Each its own separate 501c3, and you sort of mentioned to me that it means that it's really up to the community to support its own club.
That's correct.
It does indeed. In Radio Caravan here, we like to support our guests. We'd like to be donating $250 to the Boys and Girls Club on behalf of our show.
So that's our own little village commuting effort there. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Pam, anything else you think you wanted to mention about the Boys and Girls Club? Anything else we should chat about that we haven't already?
The only thing is that really we all kids today are at risk, and we all can do something about it. We all have the power to help them develop into really, you know, resilient, strong, critical thinking individuals. And it just, kids know if you care. So anyone who has any interaction with kids, please, you know, help them out.
That sounds great, yeah. Thank you so much for coming in,
Thank
Pam.
Thank you.
Very tremendous stories, I'm sure, over there. Robert, any parting words for Pam or anything?
No, it's just a pleasure to see you, and thank you again for all the great work you do, and thanks for all of our fans that came down to see the Radio Caravan show at the Wine Gallery, and all of our listeners. A shout out to Laguna Larry is out there again today. We didn't get a chance to talk to him.
To who?
Laguna Larry.
What's that?
He's a certified lunatic, but he's a friend of mine.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that sounds good. You know, we should mention, by the way, that next week, you're out of town, next weekend.
I will be at beautiful Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs.
Broadmoor Resort.
Broadmoor Resort, just hanging out?
I'm meeting with my firm.
Okay, very nice. And so we're going to be rebroadcasting the show with the famed, world's most famous art forger Tony Tetro.
That was a good show.
That was a very good show, yeah. And if you hadn't heard that before, you'll be interested in hearing this one. He's an interesting guy who went to prison for basically forging some famous works. But he's out, and he's bigger and badder than ever. So that's next Saturday on Radio Caravan. That's it for us. And Brian, thank you for the help today, man. Big, tremendous help. Brian was stepping in for Megan, who's been out pole vaulting for the last couple of weekends, I believe.
She has. She's actually number 16 in the country for pole vaulting. She's a very talented young girl.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to having her back. But if she does come back, we're certainly going to miss Brian, but he fills in. So we appreciate it, Brian. Thank you so much. This is KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. You've been listening to Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes.
I'm Robert Palmer. Jump on board.
Jump
Have a great
on
weekend.
Board. Have a great weekend. Brian, take
Let's
us
take
out of here
with a little
Now.
Now, baby.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.